I think
Yes,
we've seen how the dissertation on Philippi helped Julian to make a very, as we say, flying start on his Macedonian project. Our next speaker is Cedric Brela, who is at the moment Associate Professor for Greek and Roman History at the University of Strasbourg, and currently visiting scholars, visiting fellow at Princeton University. And he will be editing the first volume of the new corpus of inscriptions on Philippi. And he is writing a monograph on Greek political culture in the Roman imperial period. So we're very happy to have him here. He is a little bit, shall I say, his voice is not that good, but I think he will manage today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, I first of all have to apologize for my voice. This is not my normal voice. And I am one of the European victims of the dramatic temperature and weather changes which occur during the Indian summer in the northeastern part of the US. So I'm very sorry about it. I can't speak louder. I hope you will be able to hear me and that I will be able to go through my paper. Well, thank you very much, Professor Breitenbauer, for your kind introduction and for inviting me to take part in this very interesting conference and to give me the opportunity to give here a very brief overview of the extent epigraphical record related to early Christianity in Philippi, as well as to address some of the major issues regarding the emergence and the identity building of the local church in Philippi. Well, Philippi, I know that in English some say Philippi, some other Philippi. I will go for Philippi, but we are talking of the same city. Well, the city of Philippi in the Roman province of Macedonia is of specific relevance for the history of early Christianity. The city was founded in 356 BC by King Philip II of Macedon on the site of a former Thasian settlement and named after him. The Greek city of Philippi was turned into a Roman colony in 42 BC after the battle which was fought in the nearby plain between the army of Mark Antony and Octavian, Caesar's heirs, and the army of the Republicans Brutus and Cassius. According to the Acts of the Apostles, Philippi was the first city on the European mainland to receive Paul on his visit in 49 AD. The long passage devoted in Acts 16 to Paul's first journey and stay in Philippi encompasses some of the most iconic moments in all the narrative, such as the conversion of Lydia, the questioning of Paul by the colony's local officials on the forum, and this is one of the only two instances in the Acts where Paul asserts his Roman citizenship, and the miraculous release of Paul and Silas from jail thanks to an earthquake which was depicted as divine intervention. And this is a sign that you would find on the site of Philippi, showing where the location of the alleged jail of Paul. And archaeologists, who are very cautious people, of course, had put prison and philaki in modern Greek between brackets. But enthusiastic pilgrims, as you might see, had erased the brackets because they were convinced that, of course, this is the very place of the jail of Paul. The whole passage, I mean Acts 16, and a considerable influence on later Christian tradition, as shown, for example, by the figure of Lydia, who is still worshipped today by the Greek Orthodox Church as the first person to convert to Christianity in Europe, and to whom a baptistery, that you can see here on this picture, was dedicated next to the river where Paul allegedly met members of the Judaizing community of Philippi. Paul himself, acknowledged in his letter to the Philippians that he had a special connection with Philippi. The local church he had founded there had remained one of the most faithful to him, supporting him in hard times and even helping him with funding when it needed it. Due to its location in eastern Macedonia at the crossroads of land and sea routes between east and west, Philippi became an important hub for Christian connectivity between the communities of Asia Minor and those of mainland Greece. In early Byzantine times, Philippi, taking advantage of its position between Thessaloniki and Constantinople, became a major center for Christian worship in the Balkan Peninsula and several magnificent basilicas. At Sisuan, which is called Basilica B, from the middle of the 6th century, were built in the city. Because of the extent of this Christian heritage, Greece officially applied last year for the inscriptions of the site of Philippi in the UNESCO World Heritage List, and we are now waiting for the notification, let's hopefully, which will be hopefully be favorable of the UNESCO. And in this context, a traveling exhibition celebrating the centenary of the beginning of the excavations in Philippi was launched by the French School of Archaeology at Athens. Well, the aim of this paper will be first to give an overview of the extant epigraphical record related to Christianity in Philippi. Second, to assess the significance of the memory of Paul for the emergence and the development of the local church in Philippi from the 1st to the 6th century. And third, if I have enough time, to examine how the church interacted with and gradually encroached on the secular political institutions of the colony. In relation with the ongoing project of the Inscriptiones Christianae Antiquae database we have just seen with thanks to Julien Audreau's paper, I would like to give here a brief overview of what is known so far with regard to Christian epigraphy in Philippi, and to give an outlook on further research which will be made possible thanks to new unpublished material. The fundamental work on Christian epigraphy in Macedonia remains, as we have just said, Denis Fessel's Recueil des Inscriptions Chrétiennes de Macédoine, which was published more than 30 years ago, and which will be hopefully superseded by their ITSEAR database. A few more than 30 inscriptions from Philippi were included in Fessel's volume. The inscriptions were also put in his collection of Philippian inscriptions by Peter Pilofer, who added a dozen inscriptions which had appeared since Fessel's volume was published. All of this material provides information about approximately 50 people, men and women, including Diaconissa. I'm referring here to Professor Hübner's paper yesterday, and we're talking about the absence of Diaconissa in Egypt, particularly. About their social background, their occupation, and for some of them, as I've just referred to, their ranks and the offices they held within the church. Now, nearly 30 more unpublished Christian inscriptions can be added to Fessel's and Pilofer's inventories. These new inscriptions will be included in the corresponding volume of the epigraphic corpus of Philippi, which will be entirely devoted to the Christian and Byzantine city. The first published volume of the series, bearing the issue number 2.1, appeared last year and brought together all the inscriptions related to the administration and to the public life of the Roman colony. New inscriptions form a very important part of our evidence in Philippi, and the forthcoming publication of the other volumes of the series, and especially the two volumes we are planning to devote, I mean, we are planning, so our team working on that, from the French School of Archaeology and from the Greek Archaeological Services. So the two volumes we are planning to devote to the epitaph of the Roman colony and to the pagan cults should dramatically change our understanding of the social, cultural, and religious context in which Paul's mission took place and the Christian community emerged. See, these 30 new Christian inscriptions are mostly epitaphs. This material will allow us to expand the Christian prosopography of Philippi with about 20 individuals, including 5 women. And you can see one of these inscriptions, unpublished Christian inscriptions from Philippi, and you can read here, Kimeterion Theodoru. Some of these people's names might have even been unattested so far, whereas others might have been of Christian origin. If it proves to be correct, this is not the case here, this is Theodorus, but this information would be extremely important since the native population of the colony, I mean the Thracians, seems to have been absent so far from the local Christian epigraphy, probably because of the focus of Paul himself during his missions on the Greeks living in the town of Philippi. In this respect, it is also interesting to note a possible Latin epitaph, since we know so far of only 2 Latin Christian inscriptions in Philippi, both from the extramural basilica, one of them is in on the end out Julien Audreau has just given it to us. Finally, we can notice 2 new instances of the rank of diakonos among the officers of the local church, again information about the social status and the occupations of the members of the Christian community. Well, this is another example of this unpublished material, and you can see here at the very end, I'm not sure that you can really see now, it's maybe too, that's dark, it's, yeah. But, well, you have to trust me, at the very end, you can see the expression logon to theo, it's, you know, in his funerary curse. Yeah. I was referring to the social status and occupations of a member of the Christian community. One of these unpublished inscriptions, for instance, refers to Christians being freedmen in the 4th century. And this is interesting, I think. Well, I won't go further with this teaser, and I will now move to my second part, which will be more substantial, I hope, and we'll assess how significant the memory of Paul's stay and deeds in Philippi was for the identity building of the local church. I'm sorry. One of the earliest, if not the earliest, piece of epigraphical evidence for Christianity in Philippi is probably the dedication of the mosaic floor of the cathedral church by the Bishop Porphyrius. Julien Augereau has already mentioned in his paper this inscription. Bishop Porphyrius was known to have taken part in the Council of Sardica in 343. Apart from the fact that this is one of the earliest examples of a cathedral church in Greece in the Balkan Peninsula, 2 more things deserve special attention. The church was explicitly dedicated as the Basilica of Paul, Tes Basilicaes Paulum, and it was deliberately erected next to an Hellenistic tomb, originally, designed as a Hieron. We shall look closer at the connections between the church and this Hieron in order to determine how and to what extent the construction of the basilica in this very location in the city center was an attempt to support the local Christian community's claims to authority in relation to the remembrance of the Apostle Paul. The underground barrel vaulted tomb was built inside the city walls in the 3rd or 2nd century BC. It's number 6 on this map. Does it work? Okay, thank you, Julien. Okay, so this is number 6. It's this where this Hellenistic tomb was located. It's very obvious that we are inside the city walls, in the very center of the ancient city. Inside the funerary chamber, and you can see here a design of the vaulting tomb, was found a sarcophagus containing the remains of a young man of about 14 years old, together with various jewels and metal items used as offerings to the dead. The epitaph naming the dead showed that he belonged to a family originating from Thasus. This is a picture of inside the tomb and the name of the dead, and these two names, the name of the dead and the name of his father, Oyaphanes and Exarchestes, are also attested in Thasus. According to a widespread custom in Hellenistic times, the Greek city of Philippi decided to honor Oyaphanes, and certainly through him his relatives as well, for his family's outstanding benefactions toward the community, offering him a public funeral and erecting him a burial in a public location, in this case on the site where the Greek agora most likely stood, in the Hellenistic period, I mean. Above the tomb was erecting a shrine looking like a small temple, which was meant to indicate the location of the burial as well as to allow worshipping. The dead man was clearly assimilated to a hero and granted cultic honors, as shown by the numerous vases and vessels of late Hellenistic times found on the tomb's floor. This evidence supports the view that the cult continued to be worshipped in the Aeron, at least until the creation of the Roman colony. It seems that the door of the tomb was then closed by a stone slab, and that the superstructure, that is the overground shrine, was torn down during the early Roman times. The city center of Philippi underwent dramatic alterations a few decades after the Roman colony was settled there. During the first half of the first century AD, a large public square, intended to become the forum, was built west of the assumed location of the Greek agora where the Aeron stood. So the Roman forum is number 5, and the Aeron is, the picture is not very well. So, and the number 6 here is where the Hellenistic tomb was located, and then where the first cathedral church was built. Most of the Hellenistic public buildings in the lower city seem to have been demolished on this occasion. It is very unlikely that the heroic worship of a Thasian family would have been maintained unchanged after the Greek city was abolished and replaced by a Roman colony. If the heroic cult as such certainly vanished, it is possible, however, that the function and the value of the Aeron as a place of remembrance, as a lieu de mémoire, as sociologists would say, whatever the alleged commemorated person of the worshipped deity had been in the past, was not completely lost and forgotten. In any case, the construction of the Cathedral Church of Philippi directly next to the Aeron was not coincidental, and the Christian community certainly took advantage of this location in order to build its own identity and to assert its authority, as we'll now see. The Cathedral Church was not only built contiguously with the Aeron, but this place was even incorporated into the construction of the church. The space above the tomb was used as a sort of adjacent room as a side chapel. You can see here in dark, in black, the Cathedral Church, which is a very basic quadrangular church, and this is the overground structure of the tomb. You can see that this structure was used as a wall for the church. This space was refurbished in Christian times, and hundreds of coins ranging from the 4th to the 6th century were purposely thrown in there as offerings. It appears then that the church and the redesigned Iran operated at the same time. Such a plan can be compared to the integration of the alleged Saint Philip's tomb into a 4th or 5th century church in Phrygian Hierapolis, as recent excavations carried out by the Italian team have just made clear. This is the alleged tomb of Saint Philip in Hierapolis. It is our first century tomb, as we know many others in the huge necropolis of Hierapolis. And as you can see on this map from the Italian excavations, as in Philippine, you can see that this tomb, which was considered the tomb of Saint Philip, was integrated in the church, which in the case of Hierapolis was much larger, but also later than the church in Philippi. But we have something similar here. We should not speak in the case of Philippi of syncretism, like Edward Ferreuf did in a paper published with this title, Syncretism in Philippi, which is very misleading, I must say, in 2008, since this was not the result of a conscious merging of two cults. And because Oyephanes' heroic cult had certainly been interrupted for a long time when the cathedral church was built, we should rather speak of the reuse by the Christian of a forsaken pagan cult place. Some of the scholars who reject the tradition of the apostles' execution in Rome assume that Paul could well have been put to death in Philippi, and that the burial hieron above which the Basilica of Paul was erected would have been reused as the martyrium of the apostle. Yet, apart from the fact that there is no other evidence for Paul dying in Philippi, we observe that the commemoration of St. Philip's martyrdom in Hierapolis, which was on the contrary supported by a firm tradition in Christian literature, led to a much wider display, as shown by the construction in the 5th century of a wall complex excepting the church we have already mentioned. And this is the church in Hierapolis, a ritual bath, as well as a processional way, a monumental staircase leading to a huge octagonal church which was acknowledged by pilgrims at the martyrium of St. Philip. At the beginning of the 5th century, the quadrangular Basilica of Paul in Philippi was turned into an expanded octagonal church too, together with annex rooms and buildings precisely made to perform baptisms. And this is the new shape of the cathedral church in Philippi from the beginning of the 5th century AD, and this is an octagonal church as well. The scale is not the same, but it's this octagonal church is much smaller than the octagonal martyrium of St. Philip we've just seen in the previous slide for Hierapolis. This evidence is not sufficient to prove conclusively that the Iran was seen as Paul's martyrium in the strict sense, and that the local Christian community claimed the apostle's burial. But we should at least admit that within the first cathedral church of Philippi, the space above the Hellenistic tomb was used as a chapel devoted to the martyral cult of Paul. The Iran itself might have been used as a crypt to which alleged relics of St. Paul could have been transferred and there displayed. This would have justified the cathedral church being expressly dedicated to Paul, a Basilicae Paulu. The Christian community of Philippi apparently benefited from its special connection with Paul and from the memory of the apostle. The fame Philippi enjoyed as being one of the churches founded by the apostle was already widely acknowledged by the beginning of the 3rd century. In the first half of the 2nd century, Polycarp of Smyrna, in his letter to the Philippians, emphasized the close relationship between the apostle and the local church, referring to the apostle's stay in Philippi and to Paul's own letters to the Philippians. In the same way, Tertullian included Philippi among the few churches which could pretend to be qualified and labeled as apostolic, which was seen as a proof of antiquity, of greater authority. And during the first century, the adjective apostolic, as we have just seen, and this is one of the inscriptions you can find in the handout of Julien Augereau, was even inserted among the official titles of the local church, together with Catholic and Holy. And this was the official title of the local church from the 4th century onwards. In Philippi, Catholicae che Apostolicae aia Ecclesia Philippesia. I will devote the third and last part of this paper, which will be much shorter, to the issue of the possible overlapping responsibilities of the church and of the colony at a time when the Christian community started to become influential and visible in the public space of Philippi. Evidence for the progressive encroachments on the colony's responsibilities by the church come from the funerary finds, which were very common in Philippian epitaphs. While during the three first centuries after the colony was founded, these fines were required to be paid to the colony's local administration, or sometimes to the imperial treasury, the church began to be mentioned as the recipients of these penalties from the first century onwards. As you can see here in these inscriptions, the fine is to be paid to the Aiotate Ecclesia. This probably showed the influence the church was gaining at that time over public life in Philippi. Another example which can show how prominent the church had become in Philippi by the 6th century is this document, which is a fascinating unpublished, I'm skipping into three other examples. It is fascinating, still unpublished inscription. The inscription can be read on the mosaic floor of an underground burial found in the eastern necropolis of Philippi. This is the epitaph of an ecclesiastical notable referring to the various offices held by the man during his career. This man is said to have come from the city of the king of the king Constantine, and you can read here, Constantinu tu Basileos Epolis. And to have been sent to, I quote, the city of Philip, the king of the Macedonians, which was taken care of by a universally renowned church, relying on its apostolic links in Christ, end of quotation. Maybe you can see a few of these words, epitois, apostolikois, desmois, and Christo. It's obvious from the description that the church was not the most important institution in the city, and that it enjoyed an indisputed widespread recognition thanks to its foundation by the Apostle Paul, and that this Pauline legacy enhanced the authority of the local church. I reach now the conclusion. Since the publication 70 years ago by Paul Lemerle of his fundamental work on the history and archaeology of Philippi in Christian and Byzantine times, our knowledge of Christianity in Eastern Macedonia has substantially increased thanks to the numerous excavations which had been carried out over the past few decades, and thanks to the many inscriptions which were found on these occasions. According to what we know today, 8 different churches were built in the city and in its vicinity between this time and the middle of the 6th century. You can see here where these churches were spread. As suggested by the fact that the first cathedral church was explicitly dedicated to Paul, the remembrance of the apostle played a crucial role for the local Christian community in building and fostering its own identity. Whatever the actual significance of the reuse of a place previously dedicated to a pagan cult in order to build the first cathedral church was, it seems clear that a martyrial cult was established and woven to the apostle by the local Christians. Even if we don't accept the theory of Professor Arismensos from the University of Thessaloniki about the reason why the churches in early Byzantine Philippi were so numerous, the theory assumes that each one of these churches you can see here was built on an iconic place of Paul's deeds in the city, which led to a sort of pilgrimage tour through the city. One should admit that the spectacular development of Christianity in Philippi from the beginning of the 4th century was related to the memory, or even better, to the active commemoration of the apostle. So clear a claim to Paul's legacy was specific to the Philippian church. In no other city visited by Paul in the Greek peninsula and in Asia Minor did the figure of the apostle seem to have gained the centrality and the importance it had for the local church in Philippi, especially if we consider that the Ephesian church deliberately put aside the local Pauline tradition in favor of the figure of John, as we have seen yesterday, thanks to Professor Trabilko's paper. The special connection of the Philippian church had with Paul dated back to Paul's lifetime. The apostle's stated preference for the church he had founded in Philippi was asserted as a source of authority by the local Christians and then acknowledged as such by other bishops as well as by the fathers of the church as early as the 2nd century. The veneration of Paul in Philippi, however, proved to be unable to compete with the cults of St. John in Ephesus or of St. Philip in Hierapolis, where pilgrims continued to gather even until the Middle Ages, at a time when these cities had sharply declined. This was certainly due to the fact that, unlike Ephesus and Hierapolis, Philippi did not lie on the main roads networks used during the Crusades. But Philippi also deeply suffered from the 7th century Slavic invasions and never totally recovered from them. In the meantime, Paul's martyrial cult in Philippi was overshadowed by the cult of Demetrius in Thessaloniki. The failure of Philippi and of the local church to stay a major pilgrimage center and to keep alive the memory of Paul over the century was probably also hastened by the papal claim that Paul's genuine martyrium and burial stood in Rome, a claim which was first acknowledged and even confirmed by the emperor himself when Constantine I decided to have a basilica built along the Via Ostienses at the alleged place of the apostle execution. I thank you very much for your attention.